So Proverbs chapter 9 from verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear.
It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad that you were able to come. I'm glad you didn't get flooded in by the rain. Thank you, Pastor Bunch and family, and the Vosses, and everyone else that is here this morning. If you can take your Bibles, we're going to start in the book of Luke to start with. I had read a different passage, which we'll get to in a little bit, maybe 6 weeks ago, and as I was reading it, something jumped out at me and thought I'll have to do a little bit more investigation on the verse and what jumped out, and then the opportunity came up to preach, so I started looking at it and thinking, I guess, not what does it mean, but why did it jump out at me the way it did? And I'd been praying and praying, and I couldn't really get anything to kind of gel together. And then I prayed the other night, Lord, just help me to work this. And then as soon as I woke up the next morning, thoughts started popping in my head. So really early in the morning, I jumped out of bed, ran to my office, and just started writing down a few thoughts, and it just come together. So I praise the Lord for that. So we're going to read Luke 9, verse 23 to start with. And this will be the verse 23 and verse 24 that will, I guess, lead us into where we're going to go. So Luke 9, verse 23 and 24 says, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We were singing some songs this morning, Footsteps of Jesus, talked about following the Lord, and this kind of really, as we were singing it and as I was thinking about what we were singing, kind of really does fit in with what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity. I'm thankful the weather's a bit cooler. I thank you, Lord, for the rain. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here this morning. Lord, I thank you for any visitors that might be here. I do pray that your word would go forth and do what it needs to do in the hearts of people this morning. And I just pray that you would just use me as your mouthpiece and have your will and way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I'm sure most of you have heard, I know I mentioned it to someone today and they were aware of it. Recently we heard the sad news of the passing of Gilbert Anger as he went home to be with the Lord. Seems like there's a lot of men and faithful Christians who, it's like a season with Brother Surrett, who are going through some struggles, and there's a passing of a few great saints. He was a man of great influence in my life. I'm not sure how many times he visited here. Did he ever visit here in the last 10 years or so, anybody know? Okay, but he had been here before, previously. I remember one of the last times he was a good shepherd, he always tried to stir people up to serve the Lord about missions. often showed a lot of presentations, a lot of reality. He shared about, obviously, there are many people in the world that are dying without Christ. But he just kind of shared his ministry and his heart over and over and over again. And I remember the presentations of those world missions. And that was one of the things that really stirred me and helped me decide about wanting to serve the Lord more. He did have a passion to inspire others to move out of their comfort zone. He talked about the comfort zone. I think a lot of missionaries come to places where it's a bit more comfortable for them, but in a lot of the third world countries, it puts them out of their comfort zones. He led by example, by personally going to places no one else would. It's one thing to stir others up and say, you need to go, but if you don't go yourself, then it doesn't make as much impact. But the fact that he went regularly to other countries to visit, encourage pastors, to try and lead others to the Lord, really spoke volumes. He revealed the needs of others who were dying without Christ to so many of us, and he sought to give what he could to meet that need. I'm sure it was Brother Anger who sometimes when he was given a love gift would then immediately go and give it to someone else who was in need. He didn't often keep it for himself. He would give to those who were in need. Was he a challenge to you, for those that did know him? Was he a challenge to you? Certainly was for me. Brother Gilbert Anger is the classic example of someone who took up his cross daily and followed Jesus. You know, Jesus in his earthly ministry had that same passion. He was the one that wanted to see everyone saved and sought out others to get on board with getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. His desire has never changed. That's Jesus. And he is still looking for men and women who will take up their cross and follow him. I want you to turn to a couple of passages. You can hold your place in Matthew 4 and Luke 5. Matthew 4. And Luke 5. So we're going to start reading in verse 17 of Matthew 4. I'll put my little marker there in Luke 9. Matthew 4, verse 17. And this is the passage that I was reading, which kind of got me thinking about this. It says, From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There seemed to be a time where something happened and it seemed to, I guess, crank Jesus' ministry up to another notch. From that time, Jesus began to preach, to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And this is the verse, I think, that kind of got me. It says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Seems like a pretty straightforward verse, but you'll understand what I'm talking about in a second. And then verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. In this particular passage, Jesus had previously just been tempted of the devil in the wilderness, and his ministry is just about to get going. You will see that when Jesus was looking for men to follow him, Jesus met Simon and Andrew along the seashore, and we see that Jesus investigated for everyday men to follow him. This is just by way of introduction. Jesus investigated for everyday people to follow him. You don't read, Jesus went by the seashore and he found a scholar or a rich man or someone that looked like they had the part or dressed the part and thought, you'd be a great candidate. Why don't you come along with me? Jesus came to everyday people, two men who were just workers, they were making a living, their fishing business was obviously on their living. And I believe Jesus today is still investigating and looking for everyday people to follow him. If Jesus calls you, it's not because of your looks. It's not because of your status within the church or even within the community. It's not because you have proven yourself to be a worthy orator, but Jesus calls everyday people, men, women, boys, and girls, to follow him. And he can call you, and he does call you to follow him. Jesus interrupted the busyness of life. It talked about there that they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen, and they were going about their everyday business. He didn't wait till they were in church. He didn't wait till they had a spare moment. That he didn't wait until things had died down. They were in the process of doing their everyday busy life. I kind of say Jesus came looking at their workplace. You know, you don't have to be called here at church. You can be called while you're on the job. You can be called. You can hear the calling of God to do something more with your life while you're at school, while you're at study, while you're at church, while you're at home. Jesus interrupted the busyness of their life. I want you to turn over in Luke 5. There's a little bit more to the story in Luke chapter 5. Luke kind of expounds a little bit differently than Matthew 4. But Luke 5, I want you to read in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Similar passage described a little bit differently. But Jesus interacted greatly in their current lives. So he's looking for everyday men. He interrupted the busyness of their life, but he also interacted greatly in their current lives. In this particular passage here, Jesus encouraged them to go back out, cast their nets out, and they said, listen, Jesus, we've been out all night. The fishing's not good today. There isn't much around. We know what we're talking about. We have done this. We have gone out. And Jesus encouraged us, listen, let's go out. Let's cast down your net. And they said, all right, because you've asked, we'll go and do it. And what they didn't realize is that Jesus was about to interact with them in a special way. We see the Bible says that they let their nets down. So much fish filled their net that they were struggling to bring it up. The net was going to break. They called out. You can imagine, hey, guys, the others, come on, please come and help. So many fish. And I'm sure the little boats would have got pumping along, and they come across and they helped and attached the nets to their boat. And there were so many fish that both boats were going to sink. So many fish. Can you imagine having a fishing business and two boats were sinking because you caught so much fish? Now, that's an interaction that any business person would love to have. If you're in sales and you're struggling to get that sale and someone says, I want 1 million pieces of your product, you'd be like, woo! Man, my business has just exploded. And these fishermen, that is the reality of what was taking place. Jesus had interacted with them and their business had just exploded. Just exploded. Jesus interacted greatly with them. And I'm getting somewhere in just a second. And then Jesus instigated a discomforting challenge to them. In both Matthew and Luke, he says, I want you to come and follow me. I'm going to change your vocation. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll get you to catch men. I want you to come and follow me. Now, this is where I guess I want to get to today. This is my focal point. They now faced a very difficult inward battle. It doesn't say it, but because I'm a human being and they're human beings, I'm pretty sure this sort of thinking would have entered in their mind. They had just seen their fishing business explode like never before, so we could probably say they're probably doing very well now. They're probably thinking, man, we are set. Man, if this is what's going to happen, man, we're set for life. Maybe they're thinking, man, I'm going to be rich. If we can sell this fish, man, my family's going to be happy. We can get another boat, get some more fishermen in. We can double, triple our outgoings. But now they were offered a new vocation. I don't want you to become... It was almost... As I read it, I'm kind of thinking, Jesus, maybe did this on purpose. You can either have your business explode and receive the earthly gain, or you can come with me and I'll make your business explode as well and you can have the spiritual gain. And I thought, wow, what would you have done? I know we were also, oh yeah, we would follow Jesus. But I think the everyday person would think, man, I can't, it's going so well. Look what we just caught. I can't believe this. The thing is, they had to let go of their nets. They had to make the decision to let go. And that's the main thought today, is letting go of your nets. And if you want a title, let go of the net is the title of the message. What net have you got hold of that is stopping you from achieving God's will for your life? What is it that you hold on to tightly that is stopping you from doing all that God wants you to do? Now, if you're in church and you serve in church, fantastic. Great. That is what you're supposed to do. That is our fair work for the Lord. But sometimes God says there are things that I want you to do that are more than just the everyday life. There are some people, there are some things that I want you to do that I don't want anyone else to do. And sometimes God comes knocking, or God comes visiting your busy life, wherever you are, just like he did with the disciples. And Jesus says to you, there's something I want you to do. Will you come and do that with me? Not even for me, but with me. I want to do it with you. And sometimes we get to the point where we look at our life, and the very thing that is going well for us can actually become a snare for us. The very thing. Can you imagine being in business and your business has just exploded by, and it seems like God's hand of blessing is upon it? Would you say that as fishermen, when Jesus interacted personally with them, God's hand of blessing was upon their business? Jesus did it. Jesus said, this is the step I want to take. Come out with me, let down your nets. And even though it seems like that's impossible, we've already been out, God's interaction said, I'm going to intervene. And I'm going to personally bless your working. God did that. And for these poor fishermen, they're now in an internal struggle. What do we do? My family's going to love this. They've never seen this much fish. My friends, the people in the village who rely on our working, who rely on our service to the community, I'm going to love this. What do I do? But Jesus says, come follow me, but look at all this goodness here. What do I do? The Bible says immediately, straightway, they left and they followed Jesus. Some nets in themselves may not be a bad thing at all. And it really wasn't for the fishermen. It was their livelihood. It was a good thing, that particular net. Sometimes some nets in our lives can be bad, but sometimes they can be good. But they can become a snare, the very thing that stifles blessings that God would like to bestow upon us. The good things that sometimes we do in our life can be the very things that stop God's blessing upon our life. Too many people become ensnared by the familiarity of this life. The need, for example, the need to possess more and more. They want to better themselves and the desire to make it in life. And that's, if you ask most people, they would like to get ahead. That's just a normal earthly thought. I want to better for my family. I want to achieve more. I want to maybe possess more. I want to do more. It seems to be a very humanistic thought. Now, some things, if you want to achieve more, that's not a bad thing, as long as achievement is a good thing and maybe for God. Now, there are so many nets that people won't let go of and miss out on following the Saviour. And today I want to just have a look at just a couple of different nets. And this is where we're going to break off into some things, hopefully, that might help you this morning. So what are some nets that might stop you from serving the Lord? The first one is the net of impossibility. The net of our possibility. We want you to think about, we have mentioned already about these disciples, these are fishermen who were going to become disciples of the Lord Jesus. They were put into that position where, because their business has exploded, there's a possibility of, what if this continues? What if we take what Jesus has just done and we sell and we gain? And what if we reinvest what we've just gained into more business, into expanding what we're currently doing? If Jesus wants to continue blessing, then our business can be quite enormous. We can actually have a great impact on our community. We can do so much more. The net of possibility. Can you see that in our lives, money and the desire to have more can ensnare so many? Doesn't the Bible say, for the love of money is the root of all evil?
Yep.
Not money, but the love of money. And I know you're aware of that. Money in itself is very needful. We normally can't pay our rent. We can't go to the grocery store and buy the groceries. We can't pay for electricity. We can't normally drive our cars without money. Money in itself is not bad. We need it. That's what our world lives on or uses to get by. But the net of possibility. Sometimes, and I want to be careful here because I don't want to stifle anyone's desire to do more for God. The possibility that God can give can be great. And it's good to have vision. It's good to have desires to do more for God. But when it's just a desire to do more for me and to expand my life and to expand my goods and to have this and to have that just for the sake of having this and that, that's when it can become a snare, that net. I desire to do more for God. And the more I desire to do more for God, then I look and I think, well, that's going to cost more. I'm going to need more. I'm going to need more help. The work that I'm trying to do in the small way that I can in India, we have great vision. We have great desires to see people saved in India, to see pastors trained, to see young kids who don't have much have something in life. That's our desire. That's a net of possibility. There is some possibility there. We all have nets of possibility. But sometimes, if it's channeled in the wrong way, that net can be a snare. The net of possibility can be the possibility of success, the possibility of satisfaction, the feeling of achieving something great. There's no better feeling than doing something that nobody else can do. Can you imagine climbing Mount Everest? Who's ever climbed Mount Everest before? What's wrong with you? Well, I haven't. But can you imagine being the first person in here to be able to go, yep, I have. Man, you would feel so good. Isn't that Mount Everest, I just said, has grown a feet, a foot or something? Or was that another mountain? I think it was Everest. They reckon they remeasured it and it's because of the ice or the snow. It's actually grown. So the person that got there first will have to do it again because he's got another foot to go to get to the summit. Edmund Hillary, wasn't it? Oh, well, he didn't get there. All right. So, but the possibility of satisfaction, when we try to achieve, when we try to do bigger and greater things, sometimes it's to make us feel good. And then the possibility of safety. The possibility of safety. When we have more, when we achieve more, when we can see more what can happen, you know what happens? Sometimes we get to think that that's my safety net. If I can get that much money, then I'm set. Everything will be good. I won't have to worry about anything ever again. And when we start thinking like that, what have we just done? We've taken our eyes off God being our supply, being the one who provides for us. And we've now taken this net of possibility, the fish that have come in, what we can do. God's deep has now been put out of the picture. And that's where it becomes a problem. That's where it becomes a snare. The possibility of safety. God doesn't always want us to just have that the luxury of being comfortable. It doesn't always happen that way. It's like something that I can trust and rely upon, but we need to trust and rely upon God. I'll make a statement. Our possibility needs to fall in the possibility of Christ. Seeing, the Bible says, all things are possible with him. The possibility can't be upon just what we think, what is possible, but what is possible with Christ. So the first net that sometimes stops people serving is the net of possibility. The possibility of getting more in life. Why would I follow God when I see a great opportunity over here? This is too big to miss out on. Too big. The possibility to achieve. The possibility of success. The possibility of safety. I think everyone, if they were faced with that and we had the chance, I'm sure we'd probably all gravitate to that. Because it's natural. It is natural. It's fleshly, but it's a natural that we normally think. Don't let the net of possibility be a snare of you serving the Lord. The second net I want to talk about this morning is the net of pride. The net of pride. In Luke 15, we see the story of the prodigal son. We won't read it all. I think we know the passage quite well. It talks about the parable of a man having two sons, and the younger wanted his inheritance now instead of waiting till his dad died, and dad gave it to him. The Bible describes the young man gathered all, went to a far country, and verse 13 it says there, wasted his substance with riotous living. The young man wasted what he had been given. First thing within the net of pride is that pride puffs us up in the immediate. Pride puffs us up in the immediate. When this young man took his dad's money, went to a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living, I bet you he felt like the king of the world. Man, I can do anything. Nothing can stop me. I am set. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to go to the big city. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I don't have to be under my dad's rule anymore. I'm going to make my own decisions. Often every young teenager's pattern of thinking. As soon as I can get out of home, I'm just going to go and I'm going to live my life. Very, very, very prideful, very, very puffed up in the immediate of his spending. And, oh, I'm going to buy that, and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And, oh, possibly because of his money spending and possibly gained friends and possibly gained a little bit of fame maybe, and he was maybe achieving and he was feeling good about himself and he was very puffed up. this net of pride. And then as we go through, he obviously comes to the end of his money, the Bible talks about. Verse 40, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So that pride that was puffed up in the immediate is now, it's kind of gone. And then pride pretends that everything is good on the outside. Pride kind of pretends, even when the money's gone, he starts to become in want and he starts to think, well, what am I going to do? I'll find a job. That'd be great. The only thing he can find, though, is the Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that country and went into his fields to feed swine, to feed pigs. On the outside, he didn't want everyone to know that he was probably hurting and he was struggling with everything. And that's what pride does. It pretends that everything is good on the outside. Most people who make a foolish decision in church, maybe leave church, the last thing they ever want to do is come back and maybe face what they've done or make right the things that they've hurt along the way. And they pretend and they give the facade that everything is fine. I'll just get that job. I can fix this. I can deal with this. Everything's going to be right. And you know, sometimes this net of pride in our life, because we're puffed up in the moment, because we pretend that everything's is good on the outside, it can stop us from getting to the place where God can use us. And then the third thing I note about pride is that pride punishes us on the inside. Maybe you've had this where you've made some sort of rash decision and you've gone through some things and it didn't work out. And then even though you're displaying everything's fine on the outside, what's happening on the inside is you're crying out, what have I done? Why did I do that? What a dumb thing to do. Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? Why did I waste that? Why did I make that decision? And pride punishes us on the inside. It wasn't until the young man lets go of that net of pride. He struggled for, it doesn't say how long, a famine, got to the point where now he's struggling. And the Bible talks about that. He's feeding the pigs and things are so bad that what he was earning wasn't enough to have anywhere to live or to buy any food, that he would even eat what the pigs are eating. That's how bad things were. And until he decided to let go of that pride, that net of pride, and he comes to himself and he says, verse 17, and he came to himself. This is him letting go of the net. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? When I was living at home, those that had to do what my dad said and what I said, and they had plenty to eat, and I've got nothing. And I perish with hunger. I'm going to starve, dude. I'm going to die. This pride, the reason why I'm even here is because of my pride. This net of my life is ruining my life. And he lets go and he says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see the pride go? He says, I just want to be a servant. I don't want to be the puffed up king of the world anymore. I don't want to try and figure it out myself. I can't. I've tried and it didn't work. And he got to the point where he says, what am I doing? And he lets go of the net of his life and says, I surrender. I'm going to go back home. The net of pride for people, when God says, come follow me, you get kind of puffed up with where you're at and you think, I can't let go of this business. I can't let go of the safety of my home that I'm building and the life of my family and the benefits of my workplace. I can't let that go. This is good. I'm feeling good about finally achieving what I always wanted. I can't let it go. The net of pride can stop so many from going further with God because of their pride. The net of possibility, the net of pride. What about the net of procrastination? The net of procrastination. Let's have a look. You're in Luke Luke chapter 9. Luke 9:57. It's a very well-known passage. We'll quickly go through this. I want to get you out in good time. Luke 9:57, it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." We'll continue reading through to 62. It says, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." In verse 55, when someone says, I'll follow you, Jesus indicated and said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What he's saying is, if you follow me, you're not going to have the comforts of home. You're not going to have the lifestyle that you're used to. A place to lay down, comforts of home, a place to come home to every night. Lifestyle, for some people, is too important to follow. To follow Jesus. What if Jesus said to you, go to India? India? Australia? India. Australia, obviously. My house, comfortable bed, TV, internet, food, flush toilet, ready-made shower, all the comforts of home. For some, that's really important. Did you know what? I struggled the thought of going to a third world country, even for a visit. The first visit I ever made to a third world country was New Guinea, a place I did not want to go to. No, I put it off for so long. The creature comforts was the problem. It wasn't the people, it wasn't the heat. It was the creature comforts, the lifestyle that I'm used to. What if they don't have toilets? It's what people honestly think. You might think I'm carnal or flesh. I don't care. That's just how I thought. I don't want to go because it's not like here. One day, a group of us decided to go. I took my daughter. She was late teens. We went, and guess what? There wasn't a lot of the comforts at home, just like I thought. But when I went, I quite enjoyed it. And I was blown away that I actually... You just got to go to understand what I'm talking about. I didn't mind. So what was blocking my mind was lifestyle will be lost. When I went to India, the same thing. There was no flush toilets. Sometimes there was no toilets. I remember in New Guinea and India, both, sometimes you just had to go on the side of the road. That's what you did. But you just got through that. But for some people, lifestyle is way too important to maybe follow Christ. And I'm not saying everyone has to go to India tomorrow or New Guinea, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes serving Christ, we don't, because we're so used to our comfort. We're so used to our lifestyle. And so we'll say, maybe when the kids are all grown up, then I'll think about it. Procrastination. Maybe at a later date. Maybe when things get better. Maybe when I've got more money and I can buy, maybe as a missionary, I can buy a better home in that third world country. I can live like I do in Australia. So many things that go through our minds. The net of procrastination. Then in the last two there in verse 60, and from verse 59 to 62, two different people say, Jesus said to follow me, and one says, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And the second one says, let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. In the first part, lifestyle's too important. Sometimes in serving the Lord in a special way, when God calls you to do something more, loved ones come first. Loved ones come first. Family is often the thing that stops us from going to serve. What if my family don't like it when I say I'm going to go live in Africa, or I'm going to go live in Hawaii? We're India, Hawaii. Where may God's gone? Family can be the stumbling block, can be the net, that procrastination. Maybe when my parents get old and or they die or my kids are all grown up and my dependents are gone, and then maybe I'll consider it. But by then God might have said, well, I got somebody else to go and do it. You didn't. I still got it done. I needed it done. And I called somebody else. The net of procrastination is often a big thing for people. They don't, that they would rather put it off to another time, and they use these excuses, lifestyle or loved ones. There's probably a lot more, but that's what this passage says. The fourth net, and nearly done, is the net of pessimism. Seems to be a group of narrow-minded people who are always negative on anything that can be done for the Lord. Have you ever come across people like that? Oh, sorry?
Once or twice,
yeah. God shows you something. God gives you a desire to do something for him. There's always somebody that says, oh, well, we can't do that. That's going to cost too much money. Oh, you can't spend the Lord's money on that. We can't give hampers out to people who are in need. Oh, that special tract you made up cost double the last one. How can we get that sent out? There are always people who are negative against the things that God wants you to do. I'm brought to mind how Jesus often corrected the disciples about their incorrect thinking about other people and why people were there to see Jesus. Jesus often said, be quiet, let them come. Don't send them away, we'll feed them. Wrong thinking, negative thinking. Churches are full of negative thinking people. Churches are filled with people who say they want to see things happen, but they're happy with the comfortableness of their life. The comfortableness of either a small church or a church that doesn't have too many problems. We don't want problems, Pastor. Don't go thinking too big. We're just happy with how things are. We're happy to pay your wage. Don't get too overconfident there, Pastor. You can be removed. Trust me, I've seen it. Seen it in, I won't say where. Not in Brisbane. Not in Queensland. But in another state that I won't mention. Oh, is there a place? Or, no. We won't go there. We're just going to leave that with that. I think you understand what I'm saying. Don't let the pessimism of others ruin your own serving the Lord. Let go of that net. If you're a negative person, and let go of that net of pessimism. Allow God to show you what he can do. And the final one that I thought about earlier this morning, I woke up and I couldn't sleep. I didn't have a very good night's sleep. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I got up and I'd been thinking about this, popped in my head, and so I wrote it down. I thought, worked on it this morning. And that's the net of persecution. Net of persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And then we'll be done. Thank you for your patience today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Simple verse that says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The net of persecution, if I serve God, I might get persecuted. There's a net there that's stopping me from serving God in a greater way, because it propagates fear to the well-intended. Pastor preaches about soul winning, and you kind of get stirred up and you think, that's true, I need to tell others about Jesus. That's my responsibility. I'm supposed to tell others. But if I go and tell somebody on the street, or if I tell my neighbor or my family that's not saved, they're going to get angry at me. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. What if I get laughed at? Who's ever been mocked and laughed at when you're trying to tell someone about Jesus? Did you enjoy it?
No.
No one enjoys it. It's a reality. That's what happens sometimes. Not everyone goes, oh, thank you so much. What's this? I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm glad you told me. What can I do about it? Not many people do it like that. A lot of people are, what's this rubbish? Get lost. What if we get buffeted? Who do you think you are? Shove. If I tell people about Jesus, then I might suffer. I might, there's going to be persecution. I don't know if I can. This fear, what it does is it paralyzes our faith. Persecution propagates fear. It paralyzes our faith. It keeps our eyes on sight rather than faith. We look at the immediate, what I can see. This is scary stuff. I've never done it before. I'm not sure if I can, so I won't. It paralyzes our faith. And then this persecution, it precedes failure. We will never fulfill our potential for God while we are paralyzed by fear of persecution. The net of persecution is there, and a real net for every single person. Until we let that go and we say, I'll follow. I'm going to step out in faith. Excuse me, sir, can I hand you this? And someone says, well, what is it? It's a gospel tract about Jesus. Okay, thanks, mate. Oh, that wasn't that hard. Oh, excuse me, sir, can I give you one of these? Well, what is it? It's a gospel tract about Jesus. Oh, okay. Can you tell me a bit more about it? Sometimes it can happen like that.
Yeah.
It can happen. Maybe God's just wanting to say, will you do it? Will you do it? And this, I'm talking about soul winning as a simple thing. And for some of us, it can be a big step just to do that. But that's the reality of it. Not everyone is bold like Brother Rafferty and others. All right? I know. But you're still bold because you do it. Others get fearful and they don't do it. It's when we put faith to that fear and we go, yes, Lord, I'll do it because I'm going to drop that net of persecution. I'm fearful of it. I'm going to put it behind me. And immediately, straightway, I'm going to go do it. And see what happens. Now, you might get buffeted. You might get laughed at. But you might find someone get saved. Can you imagine that if when we get to heaven and Jesus says, why didn't you tell that person? I wanted to hear.
That's right.
I was fearful. I was scared. I was with you the whole time. That's the difference between the net, hanging on or letting go. So what is it that is stopping you of letting go of your net? God is looking not so much for those who can, but those who will. Consider, this is something maybe Pastor, you might want to think about this. Consider having a let go service where once God has revealed, let go of the thing that is holding us back or holding your church back. What is it that is stopping the Christian following Jesus? What net needs to be let go? And maybe let's get together and say, what's wrong with saying this is the net that's holding me back? And tonight or this morning, probably night service is good to do it. Tonight, I want God to help me let it go. I guarantee you it'll probably stir others up to say, well, there's actually a net that I've been hanging on to that has stopped me from serving God, and I agree to let it go as well. Imagine that. A group of people letting go of their nets. Wonder what God might do. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Bible had said, Simon, Andrew, and immediately they said, no, I can't leave now. The fish have just started biting. I can't leave now. I wonder what God would think about that. Can you imagine if Andrew and Peter, Jesus had just exploded their fishing business, and Jesus says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you to catch fish. sorry, I'll make it to catch men. And they went, you've just exploded my business. Why would you do that? You can't do that to me now. Sorry, maybe when the fish stop biting, maybe then I'll follow you. Can you imagine if they had said that? Wonder what our Bible would read. Wonder what Jesus would have done. Would he have just moved on to the next? We didn't really talk about James and John, but they were in the group as well. But I wonder what your net is that you need to let go of today. Wonder what your net is. Why don't we pray, and then we'll hand over brother to close in a song or however you want to. Lord, I'm thankful for the word of God. Thank you for getting me to think about this, Lord, over the last month or so, and just thank you for helping me one morning with some thoughts that I was able to jot down, and I thank you for the challenge it is for me, because I'm sure, Lord, that there are still nets that I hang on to that I need to let go as well. Please work in the lives of men and women and boys and girls this morning and have your way, and please use these folk here in this church, but in the community around them, to do your will. Please help them and show them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.